We have been given the scientific knowledge, the technical ability, and the materials to pursue the exploration of the universe. To ignore these great resources would be a corruption of a God-given ability.
Her i Kina, hvor jeg bor, der har man virkelig travlt med at bygge rumraketter og sende missioner dybt ud i verdensrummet. Lige nu forbereder riget i midten sig på at etablere en base ved månens sydpol. Den skal stå klar omkring år 2030. Og det er sådan nogenlunde det samme, USA har tænkt sig at gøre. Og senere i år vil Kina med stor sandsynlighed blive det første land til nogensinde at hente prøver hjem fra månens bagside. Hos NASA, der ser man Kina som en rival. Hør bare her, hvad NASA's administrator Bill Nelson tidligere har sagt til de amerikanske politikere i kongressen om Kina.
China is very aggressive in its Chinese government space program. And as a result, we got to be concerned about that.
Du lytter til Schumanns rumraket. Mit navn er Thomas Schumann. Og i dag, der skal det altså handle om Kinas planer i rummet. For de gode mennesker på Ingeniøren, de spurgte mig for nylig, om ikke jeg ville skrive en artikel for dem om netop det emne. I den forbindelse, der interviewede jeg den kinesiske journalist Wu Lei. Han arbejder for tv-stationen CGTN, hvor han dækker rumfart tæt. Han skriver også flittigt på både Twitter og Facebook om netop, hvad der sker inden for kinesisk rumfart. Og i show notes, der har jeg linket til hans profiler, så du kan finde ham der. I interviewet, der talte vi om alt fra Kinas missioner til Mars. Vi talte om baser på månen og planerne for Kinas rumstation Tiangong. Og så talte vi også om, hvorvidt Wu Lei mener, at Kina og USA konkurrerer med hinanden i rummet. Jeg synes, han gav et ret interessant svar på det spørgsmål. Vi startede med at tale om de rumraketter, som Kina aktuelt bruger til at sende både mennesker og satellitter i rummet. Det er den serie af raketter, der hedder Long March. Og så talte vi også om den næste generation af raketter, som Kina er på vej med, som skal være genbrugelige rumraketter.
Sure. Firstly, I want to thank you for having me at this opportunity talking about the space development in China. And actually, you just mentioned about the rockets. And actually, most of China's rockets are manufactured by a company called China Academy of Launch Vehicle Technology. The name of the rockets are Changzheng or Long March in English. So Long March series rockets is a major carrier rocket for most of the Chinese space launches. And for instance, Long March 2F rocket is the currently is the only carrier rocket for human space flight missions in China. So all the Chinese astronauts or technonauts, when they go to space station or when they go to space, they need to take this Long March 2F rocket. So Long March carrier rockets is a huge family. They have several models from Long March 2 to Long March. The latest one should be Long March 9, one of the heavy carrier rocket. And currently, Long March 5 is most powerful carrier rocket now, currently. So for China's space station construction, China used the Long March 5 to launch the Tianhe core module, as well as the Wentian and Mengtian lab modules into space. And also in the upcoming Chang'e 6 mission, the Long March 5 rocket will be used to send the Chang'e 6 spacecraft to the moon. So we can see Long March carrier rockets are the major, this kind of rockets. But in recent years, a lot of commercial rocket companies have been emerging. And, last year, over 26 space launches from commercial companies have been conducted in 2023. And 25 of them have been successful. So I can give you some of the names like Space Pioneer, iSpace, OneSpace, or LandSpace. Most of them are developing, you know, liquid propellant rockets. But some companies like Orion Space, they are developing, solid propelled rockets. So currently, a growing number of commercial rocket companies are emerging, and they are also trying to, develop low cost and more efficient and more reliable carrier rockets. So I can say that besides the Long March carrier rockets, a lot of commercial rocket companies also trying to tap the market.
It's a very interesting development that I think from an outsider's perspective is sometimes a bit hard to sort of get a clear view of somehow. But I hope this interview will clear up and give a better view of all this. Before we move on to the commercial companies, I just wanted to make sure, so the name Long March for the rocket, that's a reference, right, to the Long March of the revolution. There was a point in time in the Chinese revolution where Mao Zedong and his compatriots, they had to do a long march that is sort of mythical almost in Chinese history, right?
Yes, Long March in Chinese means Changzheng. Changzheng is a historic march from, very long distance travel of the Red Army of the Chinese during the Chinese Civil War between 1934 to 1936. So it's a very, the name means the perseverance and the endurance, and also embodying the pioneer and challenging spirit associated with China's space program. So Chinese scientists have the name of the Changzheng used to on their rockets.
So since we already touched upon the reusable commercial rockets, let's dive into that. You mentioned some companies. I have noted some companies here as well that aim to develop reusable rockets: Landspace, Pioneer, Space Pioneer, iSpace, Orion Space, Galactic Energy, and Deep Blue Aerospace.
Yeah.
Which of these would you say is closest to achieving a reusable rocket?
From my point of view, I would say Space Pioneer and Landspace, because in early March, I went to the rocket factory of Space Pioneer in Jiangsu Province, and they are now developing their latest Tianlong 3 rocket. It's a liquid propelled rocket, which is as capable as SpaceX Falcon 9. We know Falcon 9 is a reusable liquid propelled rocket, and so Tianlong 3 will be launched. The first, the maiden launch of Tianlong 3 will be expected around the middle of this year. And Space Pioneer aims to launch 3 rockets this year. So they are not having the reusability of the first stage at the maiden launch, but they are trying to test their reusability and recovery technologies step by step, which means the founder of the company Space Pioneer, Kang Yonglai, told me that during their third flight this year, they will try to test the reusability of this rocket. And also for Landspace, they are trying to develop their own liquid propelled reusable rocket, maybe probably next year in 2025. But this year, they will try to test some of the first stage recovery technology. For example, they will have one of their rockets to fly over 300 meters or several hundred meters and try to back and land on Earth and try to test the technology. So many of these companies will try to test their reusable technology one by one. We know that SpaceX, they have spent several years to reach and to develop a very successful, reusable rockets. So many of the private companies here in China, they are also trying to develop their own reusable technology of rockets, trying to lower the cost of the launch. So we will see. I believe that in the next 2 or 3 years, we will see, maybe as early as this year, we will see a step forward for the reusable technology for the rockets.
It'll be certainly very exciting to follow this development. So obviously there are different ways that companies and governments work together in different countries. And so I don't know if you can explain this, but are these companies private in the same sense that, for example, SpaceX is private in the US?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Space Pioneer and Landspace I just mentioned, they are all private companies. Their founders may worked in the state companies before, but now as commercial space is emerging in China and across the world, many scientists, engineers, they come together and form a private company, and they want to develop more, reliable and more lower cost carrier rocket. So we will see more and more private companies in China. They are not only in the rocket, but also many are developing satellites, are developing applications, constellations. So we have seen hundreds of them, new space companies every year.
So is it the same motivation behind these companies and perhaps also from the government that they see that here's a possibility, as it has been in the US, to lower the cost of spaceflight through a private initiative?
I can say that the space technology is growing very fast in recent years. So not only China, but also other countries in Europe, in Africa, they also realize the importance of space technology and applications. The navigation, space internet technology, and also communication, and a lot of new technologies are actually coming from the space sector. So I can feel that many companies are now trying to invest more to these new technologies to have these kind of new applications.
So let's also look at the government side of this, because on the occasion of the recent National People's Congress in Beijing, the head of the China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation, Wang Wei, he said that the Chinese government will also work to develop two kinds of reusable rockets, and they will actually, in fact, conduct the first tests in 2025 and in 2026. And I read an article by the spaceflight journalist Andrew Jones from Space News, and he writes that one of these rockets might be the Long March 5 rocket that will be turned into a reusable version. What do you know about these plans by the Chinese government to develop reusable rockets?
I believe the two rockets you mentioned will be manufactured by the company I just mentioned, China Academy of Launch Vehicle Technology. This company is a state-owned company in China, a major contractor of the launch vehicles in China. I think they will develop two types of reusable carrier rockets next year. Actually, over the past decades, they have been trying to develop this kind of new generation carrier rockets, the reusable ones. But I from the knowledge I have, I think it should be Long March 8.
Mm-hmm.
Long March 8 reusable carrier rockets, not Long March 5. Because Long March 5 actually is a the most powerful carrier rocket right now. But Long March 8 is designed to have the reusable version.
Okay, yeah, actually I was just checking here, and I think actually I said something wrong. It was not Long March 5 that he mentioned in the article. He mentioned the rocket Long March 10, actually.
Long March 10?
Yeah.
Long March 10 is the largest, heaviest launch vehicle in the future. It should be a manned fuel missions in the future.
Okay.
But whether or not it's reusable, I'm not sure. I need to, talk to more experts.
I also read an article by a Chinese scholar. It was Wu Yanhua from the Academy, International Academy of Astronautics in China. He wrote an article in Aerospace China, where he also described the plans to develop a rocket that is comparable with the Starship rocket that SpaceX is currently developing, a rocket that can launch 150 tons to low Earth orbit, and that should be ready at around 2030. Can you give us some information about the development of this rocket?
Frankly speaking, I don't have too much information about this rocket you just mentioned, because develop such kind of heavy rocket, it's really not an easy task. And it the major task for China space engineers is now to develop the new generation rocket for a human spaceflight mission for the lunar missions, because China aims to send its taikonauts or astronauts to the moon by 2030. So the new generation carrier rocket will be used to send the Chinese astronauts to the moon. So currently, engineers and scientists from the China Academy of Launch Vehicle Technology, they are racing against time to develop these new generation rockets for manned lunar missions.
So, by the way, you mentioned the word taikonauts. Actually, that leads us very well to the next part I wanted to discuss with you. Maybe we should just clear that up first, because I'm always unsure when I write about the Chinese space program whether or not is taikonauts really the expression that is used in China, or is that just something that people like to say because there's cosmonauts in Russia and astronauts in America.
This is a very interesting question, because taikonauts is a combination of taikong and astronaut. Taikong in Chinese means space. So taikonauts is a word combines Chinese pinyin and astronauts. So taikonauts is a special term referring to Chinese astronauts. It's a new word actually proposed by Chinese scientist.
Okay, so it is yeah. Something that comes from China. It's not just something. Okay. Interesting. So we've talked about the rockets so far, but let's take a small step further into space and talk about the Chinese space station Tiangong, which was launched back in 2021, and since then has had several crews that have visited the station. Can you talk about the status of the space station? What is it? What is currently happening, and what is about to happen with the space station?
Sure. Tiangong space station is now orbiting some 400 kilometers away from the Earth, and China has finished the construction of the Tiangong space station by the end of 2022. So since then, Tiangong space station as the national space lab has been orbiting there, and it is mainly composed by the Tianhe core module and also Mengtian and Wentian lab modules. So every year, two batches of taikonauts will be going to the station and working and living there for about 6 months for each crew. So every year we will see two batches of taconauts will be sent to a space station. Each crew will stay there for 6 months, around 6 months. So the Shenzhou spacecraft will be used for these taconauts, and the Tianzhou cargo ship will be used for delivering the cargo and their daily necessities for these astronauts and also other materials. And China aims to expand the currently space station into larger and with more modules, maybe more lab modules or China also aims to launch a giant telescope named the Xuntian Telescope. It's a very advanced telescope. And some scientists expect the Xuntian Telescope will be expected to launch around 2025. So the telescope will be studying the dark matter, dark energy, and other space, mysterious. It will be docking with the space station when it needs maintenance. But it will be also, flying with the space station. So the telescope will be a part of the space station. For instance, when it's orbiting the Earth, it's studying the dark matter and dark energy. But whenever it needs maintenance or needs some repair, it will be docking with the space station so that the taconauts or astronauts will go there to have a quick check. So Chinese scientists also aim to expand the modules to add more lab modules or service modules in the space station. And China is always welcoming international collaboration with other countries. The space station, the first batch of 9 international scientific projects, they are selected from 17 countries and regions. These international scientific projects will be sent to China's space station very soon. And also in the future, global astronauts and scientists also welcome to work in China space station. And I've been told that a number of countries have already applied, and some of the international astronauts and scientists will come to China and to work with Chinese, to train together with Chinese astronauts and scientists. So maybe in the future, we will see some global astronauts will be working on China space station.
It'll be very interesting to see. And I think that whole idea with the space telescope that it can dock to the space station is also a very cool idea. What do you know? What kind of wavelength is this telescope going to be observing the universe in? Is it optical light or what kind of light is it?
For technically, I'm not very sure about the technology you just mentioned, but the scientist told me that the telescope is a very advanced one. They want to study the dark matter, dark energy, and they're also trying to collaborate with other countries and scientists to study the, the origin of the universe, to study the mystery of the, the radiation in the universe. So this will be a very, very important part of the space station.
Let's move on then to the moon, a step further yet into space. And I just had a brief look at some of the Chinese accomplishments. So from 2007 and up to 2020, there have been a series of Chinese missions, all with the name Chang'e, from 1 to 5. Missions that have gone into orbit around the moon, have landed on the moon, even landed on the far side of the moon, which nobody had done before, and also collected samples back to the Earth. Could you talk about what is then up next? What are we expecting to see in the Chinese lunar program?
Yeah, actually, in the next few months, we will see China's Chang'e 6 lunar sample return mission very soon. As you just mentioned, over the past few years, China has sent several Chang'e spacecrafts to the moon. And over the next few years, China will continue its Chang'e lunar missions. The Chang'e 6 will be trying to collect samples, hopefully from the far side of the moon this year, because no one has ever had the samples from the far side of the moon. So Chinese scientists aim to launch a Chang'e 6 spacecraft to land on the far side and trying to collect the samples there. And also in the next few years, China will also launch the Chang'e 7 and the Chang'e 8 programs. Chang'e 7 is a lunar polar exploration mission. The mission is aimed to study the South Pole of the moon. The South Pole is one of the oldest and largest impact craters on the moon. So the mission, we're trying to study the South Pole and try to get a better understanding of the environment of the lunar South Pole. And also the Chang'e 8 mission, we also verify some key technologies for the establishment of a long-term or permanent lunar base in the South Lunar Pole. So also Chinese astronauts will land on the moon before 2030. So we can imagine that over the next few years, Chinese scientists will be very busy for the lunar missions because China has already signed several memorandum understandings with several countries like Russia, like South Africa, Azerbaijan, and other countries on the International Lunar Research Station. This is a huge global project on the lunar. They are trying to build a jointly built a permanent lunar base to conduct scientific research, to study the resources there, and build a sustained human base on the moon. So we can imagine that we are expecting these exciting missions over the next few years.
And I also noticed that a lot of these missions, Chang'e 7 and Chang'e 8, they will also be looking for resources that can be used on the moon. It's also something that's being talked a lot about with regard to the NASA Artemis plans. I noticed that there was a Chinese delegation that submitted a paper in a working group at the UN where they sort of described the Chinese attitude towards the utilization of a resource in space. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting to see that the Chinese opinion here is basically the same as, what the US says, that, yes, we can use resources in space, but we need to uphold the treaty, the Outer Space Treaty from 1967. I don't know, can you talk a bit about the plans, the ideas on the Chinese side to utilize the resources at the lunar South Pole?
I believe the utilization of the lunar resource have been the common or goals for global scientists, because for human, for all the humanity, it's not easy for them to transport the resources from the Earth to the moon. It's quite challenging. It's so difficult to send astronauts and their equipment to there. If you want to build a permanent or long-term lunar base there, it's very important to use the lunar resources there. I know that some of the scientists, they are trying to use the resources there to use the latest 3D printing technologies to build, for instance, some houses or some other equipment there to lower the cost and improve the efficiency. So I'm not sure about the details, but I think it's a very complicated and very difficult issue there, and it requires the not only technology but also other issues, and I think the UNESCO and other space agencies and other global space agencies, they need to work together to find a best solution for how to use the resources, how to make the best use of the resources and reduce the contamination, and you reduce the waste, how to deal with the waste, how to make the long term to make the best use of the resources. I think it's a very challenging job. It requires the discussion and the coordination of different countries and different regions. It's not just one country or two countries. I think it's a very difficult problem that needs to be addressed by scientists and decision makers globally.
You said something that surprised me, actually, because from my understanding, the plan to land Chinese taikonauts on the moon, I understood it as around 2030, but you say the plan is to do it before 2030, right?
Yeah, this is from a Chinese scientist. They are setting the goals of sending Chinese astronauts to the moon by 2030, because the rocket, as I just mentioned, Long March 9, is now under development. They are trying to have the maiden launch maybe in the next few years. So they are racing against the time for the rocket, for the training of the astronauts, because landing on the moon or working in space station is quite different. And also for the space suits for the lunar missions is also under development. So you can imagine the rocket designing, the space suit, and also the astronauts training, all of these missions are under development.
We are hoping
that they can finish the mission as early as possible.
There's also a new spaceship being constructed, right? The Mengzhou spaceship?
Yes, Mengzhou these two spaceships, they have gotten names. And so, the many Chinese astronauts, they are trying to be the first astronaut to touch on the moon.
So Mengzhou is like the capsule where they will transport the astronauts back and from the Earth. Is that correct? And there will also be a lander, of course.
Yes.
And so, and all of this also builds up to that idea of establishing a base on the moon, as you also mentioned. Is there anything yet known about what this base will contain? We know a bit about the partners behind it, right?
It's a global project, and the number of the partner is not limited. Anyone who is interested in this international project, they can discuss and join this program. So we are not sure about the the scale or the area of this base, but they will try to build a basic model, a basic base of this International Space Station around 2030, which includes the Chang'e 7 and Chang'e 8 and other spacecrafts. So it's a very long-term project, and they will try to build this station step by step or year by year.
Now, let's take a step even further into space. Let's look at Mars. In 2020, China launched the Tianwen-1 mission, which was a you know, an orbiting space probe, along with also a lander and a rover called Jurong that drove around on the surface of Mars. What's the status on the Tianwen-1 mission?
For the Tianwen-1, it's very, really exciting. As you just mentioned, in 2020, the spacecraft launched. I was there at the Wenchang Space Launch Center. It's really exciting. And after 7 months of flight, Zhurong rover and landed on the Red Planet on May in 2021. And over the past 3 years, Zhurong has been traveling over 1 kilometers. We are not very sure about the latest status of the rover, because the rover was designed to stay there for only 3 months. But as you can see, it has been there for almost 3 years. And last time, I remember that in 2023, China National Space Administration has released some photos or some new images taken by Tianwen-1 probe, and we can see that Zhurong, you know, the solar panel of the Zhurong rover were covered by the dust on the Red Planet. So it's really challenging for the Zhurong to, you know, work and survive the extreme temperatures on the Red Planet. So we are not sure about whether it's still working or not. We are also waiting for, you know, the official message from the China National Space Administration. But I can tell you that China is continuing to develop its Mars mission. China will launch a Mars sample return mission around 2030, which aims to bring back the Mars sample around 2030. So we know that American has launched several Mars rovers there, but they have never brought back the samples. So China aims to have the Mars sample return mission around 2030. But before that, China also aims to launch the Tianwen-2 mission. The Tianwen-2 mission is to collect samples from a near-Earth asteroid and also explore a comet in one mission around 2025. So this is not a Mars mission, but it's also a kind of deep space exploration mission. So we will have the Tianwen-2 first, and then Tianwen-3, the Mars sample return mission, will be expected around 2030.
And you mentioned the Americans also here, and I thought it was interesting, you know, the whole discussion there is right now in the United States about their attempt to bring back samples from Mars, that right now there are problems with the budget, essentially, how much money this Mars sample return, as it's called, mission, how much funding it will get. The whole mission seems to be a bit uncertain, perhaps it will also face delays. Do you see here some sort of competition between China and America in respect to who will get the samples from Mars first?
Well, this is a very interesting question, because I think that firstly, we need to think about why NASA always talking about the space competition with China. Because, you know, some 50 or 60 years ago, NASA already sent astronauts to the moon. They have collected lunar samples. The NASA has the world's most advanced space technologies. So actually, China is only developing its space technologies in recent decades. And according to its own, following its own plans, and actually Chinese scientists are always saying they are catching up with the world's leading space programs. They are not competing with anyone, any country. So from my point of view, I think American is far away advanced in the space technology with the rest of the world. So Chinese scientists also are only developing, you know, the rockets, the satellites and spacecrafts, space station, according to their own long-term plans and scientific plans. And so I'm just curious that NASA is always talking about the competition. Many say they're only for asking for more budget from the Congress. So if we imagine that if they do not talk about the competition, will the congressman or congresswoman give them the budget? I don't think so. So just because their technology are far advanced than the rest of the world, they don't need to worry about the other countries. So for China, I think Chinese scientists are just following their technology and the plan step by step. And China always welcome the international collaboration in the sector. China also welcome to the U.S. on the lunar and on the Mars and other mission. But U.S. banned, they have a, I'm not sure whether you know the act of, that article banned the U.S. scientists to work with China. But it's always open to the whole world to even work with any sector. So I think in the future, in the lunar and Mars mission, also in the deep space exploration, China welcomes other countries, including Denmark, including any other countries in Africa, in Europe. We can work together to have these kind of advanced technologies to be, to benefit the whole humanity, to benefit the whole society.
Yeah, I talked with Casey Dreyer from the Planetary Society about this argument that is often being used by American politicians about China. And he actually said that, you know, yes, it's something they often do, but actually they don't really fund, and they don't go on to fund NASA actually as if there was a real competition. So it's a bit strange, some of it. I think maybe some of it also has to do with the whole notion in Western media and in Western mm-hmm. discourse that, you know, China copies technology or steals or whatever the word they use from the Western space programs. I know you follow space news from around the world. What do you think when you see those kinds of stories and or that kind of reasoning?
I think it's so funny because they don't have any specific, you know, cases, specific answers. They're just talking like in the social media. I can give you some instances for China's lunar missions. We know if you want to go to the far side of the moon, you need a communication technology. No one has ever done it before, even the U.S. They don't go to the far side of the moon. But in order to go there, Chinese scientists developed a relay satellite called Queqiao. Queqiao relay satellite is a new satellite orbiting the moon. It can help bridge the communication between the far side of the moon and also on the Earth. So a lot of new technology have been used by Chinese scientists. And we can see that the space technology have been developing for over, 50, 60 years. And the time from the rockets, for the satellites and for the applications, they do have some similarities because we know that rockets have liquid or solid propellants, but the different ways of these kind of technology are quite different. They are using new materials, they're using the new technologies or new applications. We cannot say that China or other countries copy from other countries. I think it's not fair.
I think whenever there's a European or American communications satellite launched to the moon, I will write a headline, Europe or the US copies China. It'd be fun to turn it on its head.
Yeah. Matter of copying or something like that. Yeah. the core technology or the talents or the application is quite different.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't think it's another copy game. Mm. It's really a matter of innovation or application, right?
So, as I said earlier, I read this paper by this scholar who published a paper in Aerospace China, and there's some things I found quite interesting. The approach, a bit about the philosophy that is described in how perhaps the Chinese space program views space a bit differently than in the Western world. So there was this quote from the beginning of the paper where it's talking about different kinds of missions that we have, broad scale missions. So it says the second mission is to protect human civilization, focusing on dealing with the risk of near-Earth asteroid impacts, protecting the safety of Earth, transforming the extraterrestrial living environment, opening up a new living space for humankind's survival, and promoting the expansion of human civilization to the interstellar world. I think, especially this last part of the quote, the ideas of expanding human civilization to the interstellar world and even to other planets in our own solar system, I think it's mainly a company like SpaceX that will talk so boldly about this in the West, but often there's a discourse or there's a debate where people will say, oh, this is just the rich billionaires that want to give an escape hatch, or they will ruin Earth and then they'll go off to space or something like that. It's often, that whole idea of sending humanity and civilization out into space and get a foothold is often, I think, portrayed in a negative light by many media outlets and so on in the Western world, and certainly also in Denmark, where I'm from. I'm just curious what you think and what your sense is of how the perception is in China, if there is generally a more positive outlook on the whole idea of bringing civilization out into space.
From my point of view, I can say that I want to quote some sentences from a Russian scientist. He said, Earth is a cradle of humanity, but people cannot stay in Earth forever. Mm. So I think for globally, the scientists want to explore the space further, and they want to have more deep space missions to go far beyond. I think it's quite similar for the Chinese scientists, because I talked to many Chinese scientists and also some officials from the China National Space Administration. They will plan for their missions maybe 5 years, maybe 20 or 30 years. They will plan this kind of missions over the next few decades, every few years. You know, in China, many departments will make the plans every 5 years. But for the space development, many of these scientists or engineers, they want to develop a longer and further plan of projects. So the purpose of this longer project is to have a more and clearer and better purpose, so that every aspect of the society, every company, or every the people, the engineering, the talents can be working together to reach this goal. So China has also set up its future missions for, we just mentioned about the lunar missions, the Mars missions, and also the deep space missions, including studies asteroids or SAPO return or deflecting the asteroid for planetary defense purposes. So Chinese scientists also are developing this kind of missions or programs step by step. They also want to develop more advanced equipment, more advanced telescope, more advanced spacecraft to send to the space, because the universe is so huge. We know so little about our Earth, about our solar system, or about our galaxy. So I think from the point of view of this scientist, they want to explore more. And these missions will, you know, generate a huge application about the technology, will generate a huge of the supply chain, and also that the scientist generation of new talents will be cultivated, so that we can finish these programs and projects generation by generation. So this will be a very long-term project. I think it's quite useful for these engineers and scientists to have a longer view on the space missions.
Ule, it's been fascinating to talk to you. And before I let you go, for the people who now have a greater appreciation, greater interest in the Chinese space program, how would you recommend that people follow along if they want to follow along with the progress of the Chinese rockets and space station and lunar missions and missions even further out?
Okay, if anyone who is interested in the Chinese rocket, satellite, and other space missions, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And I know there are many professional space reporters. They are not only in China, but also across the world. Their social media platform and other professional media like CGTN, we are reporting most of the missions across China. So you can follow the TV and also the social media. And I think I'm very happy to share with space fans and other people who are interested in that. And also, I think, Thomas, your podcast is also a good platform. You're also following these missions. I think we can have more these kind of programs. We can work together. We can to talk about these programs and to let more people have a better understanding about this.
That sounds very, very good. I'd love that. Wule, thank you so much for taking the time to be here on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
I forbindelse med artiklen til Ingeniøren, der talte jeg også med Michael Linden Børne, astrofysiker og chefkonsulent ved D2 Space, for at få hans vurdering af, hvor meget vi kan stole på de planer, som Kina fremlægger for rummet.
Jamen, jeg tror ikke, man kan stole meget godt på dem, fordi kineserne er i hvert fald kendt for, at de ikke sådan bare slynger ud med ting, ligesom russerne måske i højere grad er gode til, og bare sådan slå ud med armen og sige, nu bygger vi vores egen rumstation, nu gør vi dit og dat. Altså, man kan jo sige, det er jo lidt ligesom i virkeligheden med Elon Musk og SpaceX. Altså, alt hvad de har sagt, de vil gøre, har de jo gjort. Det kan godt være, at SpaceX så nogle gange har været lidt tidsoptimistisk i forhold til, hvornår det så lykkes. Men altså, og på samme måde i virkeligheden lidt med kineserne, at de har jo gjort de ting, de har sagt, de vil gøre. De har jo god tid. Altså, de behøver ikke stresse, vel? Så når de kommer med udmeldinger, så tror jeg ikke. Altså, de vil hellere, hvad hedder det, gennemføre tingene til tiden og vise, at de har styr på det, end at bare slå ud med armene og komme med nogle vilde udmeldinger, som så alligevel ikke bliver realiseret. Så folk tænker, ah, de har alligevel ikke styr på det. Vel, for jeg tror, for dem er det meget vigtigt at signalere, både udadtil og indadtil, at man har styr på ikke bare teknologien, men også logistik og infrastruktur, altså det hele pakken i forhold til at få sådan et ambitiøst rumprogram, som både er bemandet og ubemandet, og handler om udforskning, og handler om militær dominans og alt muligt, og få det alt sammen til at spille. Så det tror jeg simpelthen godt, man kan tage for gode varer. Jeg tror ikke, de vil risikere det her med at miste alt for meget prestige ved at bare at sige noget for at sige det, og så håbe på, at der er noget, der lykkes. Ikke?
Det fik man lige til at tænke på. Jeg sad og skrev om den amerikanske Intuitive Machines One-mission til månen, og så skulle jeg skrive et afsnit, der handlede om sådan de forsøg, der har været på det seneste om månen, med at lande på månen, og kom så lidt frem til min egen overraskelse faktisk, at Kina er det eneste land, der er lykkedes med alle sine månelandinger.
Der er lykkedes med alle?
Ja,
missioner til månen, ikke?
Ja. Ja.
Og de er også lykkedes med alle deres missioner til Mars. Altså den første Mars-sonde, der fejlede, det var jo ikke kinesernes skyld. Det var jo fordi, de piggybackede på Fobos grund. Så det var jo, hvad hedder det, i virkeligheden bare fordi, de fløj med en russisk launcher, og det var en russisk mission. Så det var det, der trak den i graven. Det var ikke kinesernes skyld. Vel? Så alt, hvad de selv har gjort, det har de gjort, og det har de gennemført helt perfekt, ikke? Også det at gennemføre en Mars-mission, som de har gjort så ambitiøst med både et kredsløbsmodul og et landingsmodul og en rover og så videre, og alting jo lykkes i første hug. Det må jeg sige, det er ganske imponerende, ikke? Altså.
Tror du også, det her at gøre med det, du taler om før, det med prestigen og at de ikke bare slynger ting ud, at de rent faktisk sætter sig for at gøre tingene ordentligt?
Det tror jeg, men jeg tror også, det er meget vigtigt, at det er, at fordi man i Kina har den styreform, man har, fordi man har det samfund, man har, så er tingene også om så må sige lettere, altså fordi man ligger ikke under for at skiftende regeringer og skiftende politiske påvirkninger, som lige pludselig synes, ej, nu skal vi spare penge på det eller det der helt. Det er meget meget nemmere at lave en langsigtet planlægning og have en kontinuitet, når man er et land som Kina, fordi man har den her lidt mere, altså den her mere styrede form for økonomi. Og ja, det er så private virksomheder. Vi ved jo godt, at kinesiske private virksomheder er jo ikke mere private end som så, vel? Så det at du har en stærk statsmagt, som gør det muligt at lave de her langsigtede planer, gør også det nemmere at realisere, for der kommer ikke lige pludselig en ny præsident, der siger, ej, det gider vi ikke at have, det skal ikke være på den her måde, det skal være på en anden måde, vi omprioriterer nogle ressourcer, eller vi skærer ned på budgettet. Det sker ikke i Kina, ikke på den måde i hvert fald, vel? Altså.
Vil du så derfor sige, at kineserne er bedre til at nå de mål, de sætter sig, end for eksempel ESA og NASA?
Altså, jeg vil sige det på den måde, at de har bedre forudsætninger for at gøre det i hvert fald, ikke? Altså, det er jo ikke sige, de er bedre til det, men altså, vi har nogle andre rammebetingelser i vores demokrati, og hvilket er jo en ting, man så har valgt, det er sådan, det skal være. Og hvor der er en større konkurrence om ressourcerne, hvor det ikke, man ikke bare beslutter fra statens side og siger, nu er det vi prioriterer, så nu er det, vi gør. Så kineserne har nemmere ved at netop at lave den her. Vi ved jo godt, at al rumforskning og rumteknologi, det er nogle langsigtede prioriteringer. Det er noget, man skal køre over mange, mange år. Hvis man kan være sikker på, at man har sine budgetter, man kan være sikker på, at man har den velvilje fra officielt hold, jamen, så er det bare meget nemmere at gøre det. Og det er jo, altså, det er jo den kinesiske stat, der gør de her ting, også selvom det er private aktører, som er på banen, ikke?
Hvis du er glad for at lytte til Schumanns Rumraket og gerne vil støtte mig i det arbejde, jeg laver, så kan du gøre det via hjemmesiden tier.com/schumanns-rumraket. Du kan vist også bare gå ind på tier.com og så søge efter Schumanns Rumraket derinde. Jeg har også linket til min side i show notes, så du skulle også kunne finde det der. Derinde der kan du støtte mig med 5 kroner, 10 kroner, 15 kroner, ja endda 50 kroner, eller lige præcis det beløb, som du synes, Schumanns Rumraket er værd. Så støtter du mig hver gang, der kommer en ny episode med det beløb, du har valgt. Hvis det er noget, du kunne tænke dig at gøre, så prøv at søg på tier.com, altså søg efter Schumanns Rumraket, eller gå ind på hjemmesiden her, tier.com/schumanns-rumraket. Og som sagt, du kan også finde linket i mine show notes. Du kan også følge mig på Instagram, hvor jeg også hedder Schumanns Rumraket, og jeg er også på mediet X, hvor mit brugernavn er @tschnn. Musikken, du har hørt undervejs, er fra bandet Test Shot Starfish, og det bruger jeg med tilladelse fra bandet. Tak for, at du lyttede med. Indtil næste gang. Ad Astra.